Hello, hello, hello. I am your Boomer Banks, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood. To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
hug. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets. So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. So once again, I am your hostess with the mostest, Munoz, and we are in the second week of December, or is it the first week, first and a half week? Whatever. It's the 7th of December, release day. And have we started shopping? Have we decorated? All the trees here in across New York City have been lit and lit again. Your girl Munoz has only been lit because of all the red wine and working she's been doing. I've really had a craving lately for panettone. And, you know, the gay body dysmorphia of it all won't let me eat that many carbs. But I'm really craving some good panettone. Are we panettone friends out there, folks? You know, Setapane, a friend to the pod, and Belena Setapane, friend of mine, they own this bakery that's like many, 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 many years old here in New York City. You can find them on Gold Belly. They are not a sponsor, but their Nutella panettone is delicious. Pre-order now. I'm really in a panettone mood. I don't know what it is, but I woke up with a craving for that today, and that's really it. I haven't put up my decorations because, as you all know out there, a bitch is busy. The holiday season is here. All of my charity givings, which I will soon impart on you all, are starting to take effect. Is that the word? I don't know. And other than that, I'm trying really hard this year just to get in the mood. But like I said, she's busy and sometimes it's a struggle. So hopefully you all out there are feeling it too and just finding time to find the warmth, whatever that means to you. But without further ado, I want to get to the getting on because I have been chasing this guest. And if you have been with me for the past almost 5 years, you know I have been chasing this guest to be on this podcast forever. And folks, he is finally here. So please help me welcome the one, the only, Paul Fotenhauer. Say hi.
Hi. Wow, what a wonderful introduction.
I don't think you understand how excited I am to have you here, because no joke, since the inception of this podcast, I have been like I have been saying you have to come on the pod. I have been emailing and tweeting and Instagramming and writing book author, book publicists, the whole gamut. So I am so happy you are here.
You built up too high expectations. Stop it.
Well, you are a legend, and you are the moment, Paul. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. How are you today?
Absolutely wonderful. And you were talking about the panettone. I was like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, are we panettone?
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming to me all the way from Italy, I think.
Yeah,
are you
exactly.
not?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So oh I'm like, God. Yeah, I could. I mean, I they're all over the place. So I should pick up one.
Oh, my God. There is this one out of Italy that is pistachio. That is pistachio and chocolate. And it's so, like, creamy and delicious on the inside. I bet you the panettone by you. Where in Italy are you, actually?
I'm just outside of Milano.
Oh, how fancy. You see, we are high class here on In Your Mouth.
if you could see this hotel room, you would change your mind.
If I had a dime every time I heard that. So. Well, Paul, before we get anywhere, I got to do what I got to do. And in the grand tradition of In Your Mouth, I need to wish you Happy National Cotton Candy Day, better known as Fairy Floss Day.
Are you kidding me? Is it candy? No.
Yeah, Cotton Candy Day.
Whoa. Okay. Wow.
I never thought of cotton candy being a holiday candy, though.
No. It's more like you go to the carnival,
like,
or
yeah, like
fair.
The summertime, right?
Yeah. It's messy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You are the queen of messy, honey.
Hey!
No.
You want to talk about... You said you were going to be nice.
I am nice. I also said I was going to be an idiot, because that's what I am on this podcast. Pure tomfoolery is what I'm all about. No, it is messy. Cotton candy is messy. Oftentimes too sweet for me and my taste. I'm more of a subdued kind of sweets person. What about you?
You're more into nuts? Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
You see, Paul, I knew you were going to be able to volley this back and forth.
I like watching cotton candy being made. You know, they have these like sort of half barrels or and then the if they're good at it, they can spin it around and it just looks like it takes some degree of expertise to do that, some training. It looks like it's a skill. You don't just make cotton candy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there are those viral videos on the internet of those cotton candy people making like flowers and shapes and things. Have you seen that?
No. I've totally missed this.
Oh yeah, it's you know, very fancy, muy fancy, as I say.
Muy.
Well, I mean, I guess what else is there to say about like National Fairy Floss Day or Cotton Candy Day, except for no matter what you celebrate, if it's messy cotton candy or clean.
I have a question for you. I know you're supposed to be asking me questions.
Yeah, ask away.
So how do you find, like, how the hell do you know that it's Cotton Candy Day? Like, how do you have, do you subscribe to like food day calendar? How do you know this?
So there is a website out there that I find this, and this person is the queen or the head of all food holidays, and this website is called Foodimentary, and his name is, this is somebody else that I've been trying to get on the pod forever. John Brian Hopkins.
Okay.
And he started this, and then this website, and then it took off. And there is a science to how all of this came about and why certain days are certain days. It's just, okay. And there are a lot of random ones. Yeah. But
like this one.
Yes, but he did put a lot of thought from all the reading I have done about like how all of this came about. So John Brian Hopkins, if you're listening, come on the podcast.
he's not as bad as he the threat is his what do you say? His bark is worse than his bite? No?
His bark is worse than his bite.
No, what do you say?
I don't know. Like, I mean, he's not threatening me.
No. So. bad associations.
Yeah. Where were we going there?
I don't know. You're the expert, man.
I am the expert. Well, listen, no matter what you celebrate out there, whether it's not National Cotton Candy Day or whatever
Panettone Surprise.
Or Panettone Surprise Day, we celebrate you. And moving right along into this day in gay history, I wanted to keep it light today because a lot of the rest of today's day in gay history was a little heavy for me, and I'm feeling good today, and like I want to keep my spirits light because everything else in my life is a little heavy these days. So did you know that 1970 lesbian painter Romaine Brooks dies in Nice, France at age 96? Now, I know I said light, right? Although I'm talking about death. But Romaine Brooks, do we know the painter Romaine Brooks, Paul?
No, I'm not well versed in that kind of art.
So Romaine Brooks was an American painter who worked mostly in Paris and Capri. She specialized in portraiture and used a subdued tonal palette keyed to the color gray. So what we know kind of as grayscale. And her portraits are stunning, just these stunning grayscale portraitures. And she was a big old lesbian, you know?
96, not bad.
Yeah, 96. Yeah. I didn't expect to make it to almost 42. So. Yeah. So on this day, I wanted to honor her. But I want to get to the getting on and talk about you, Paul, because I am beyond ecstatic and honored to have you here. In Your Mouth, listeners, if you don't know, and you probably should, Paul Flotenhauer is a medical professional and author. Paul rose to fame in 2008 with his first and perhaps slightly controversial book, Natural Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes. He went on to write a second companion book, Semenology, the Semen Bartender's Handbook, that rated well across the internet, coming in at 4.3 stars. Currently, Paul has released his third semen-based book, but this time focused on skincare. Semen Cosmetics, the complete guide to making semen-based bath, body, and beauty products, just hit the shelves to rave reviews on November 14th. Yes, you heard that all right. Today, we are talking all about semen, folks. So welcome, Paul.
Thank
welcome,
you.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I am honored to have you here today. So I think the audience, right, all the listeners are probably at this point being like, wait, what?
What?
What? Say what? Right.
What did he just say?
Right. And I think we need to start in a place of, you know, we as human people, right, use a lot of different sort of animal products and a lot of human products that go into like skincare.
Definitely.
You know, talk about placenta, right, for hair and whatnot. So this isn't too like out of the box here.
No, there's skincare, very expensive skincare made from an extract of foreskins.
Oh,
it's a legit expensive, high street brand.
Wow. I didn't know that. And you know what? Full exposure here. I am glad mine is intact and not used for anybody.
You better be careful, you know.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know I had such a high priced item on me.
Actually, the morbid part of it is it's from baby's foreskin.
Well, yes, obviously, because, I mean, I guess, what do you do with them after?
You sell them to a cosmetic company in
Korea. My God, who is making all that money?
Yeah.
Wait, we need a documentary about this. I learned something today within the first 10 minutes of this podcast.
When I was doing the research, reading up on do-it-yourself bath and body products, I found a bunch of crazy stuff. One was the foreskins. The other one was the snail slime.
Snail slime?
So the slime that this snail sort of just leaves behind, the snail trail. That's extracted and used as a moisturizer. Very expensive also. So we use all kinds of crazy stuff.
In skincare and ingesting.
And in food.
And this is where I want to start, is back in 08, why or what gave you the idea, right? How did this all come about is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Wow, it's been a while since I've been asked that question. It's been so long ago, but I remember, 2008. So it must have been 2000. I don't know. Let's just say 2003 something. At a dinner party, we were just drinking, having fun, whatever. And we had the discussion about swallowing, and if you should expect your partner to swallow your cum. Right, so that's a fair discussion, mm-hmm. And the consensus was no, because it's not you can't just expect them to. It's nice if they do, but it's not something you can expect. And the conversation continued, and then I was like, so if you don't swallow, is it because the cum tastes bad, or what's the let's get some nuances in here.
Yeah, is it a textural thing or is it a flavor thing?
Yeah,
right?
Or is it something else?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because I personally don't have textural food problems, so I don't. No. That doesn't register in my head. Yeah.
Well, I hadn't given this a whole lot of thought, but I asked the question how many. Yeah, it's about 50% men. How many have tasted their own semen? Like, if you expect your partner to swallow, it does make sense that you would be willing to dip your finger in your own semen, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, and the reaction I got, and these are all these very sex positive, open minded people. The response I got was surprising, because people were like, wait, tasting your own semen, is that disgusting? And that's what fascinated me. So why is it so disgusting, or why do people find it disgusting? Like, even the people who are willing to swallow a partner's semen, they were somehow put off by their own semen. That's where it started. And then I just became obsessed with this.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, right? Because Twitter has gone mad since 2003, right? When it didn't even exist, right? I don't even think Twitter existed in 08, for that matter. But the amount of people doing the most, right? In a most sex positive way here, right? Via the internet and what I've seen, right? Because you can fall down some crazy holes on the internet.
Yeah.
Right? No pun intended here. But the fact that people with penises, right? Or people who ejaculate, mm-hmm. right? Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
To include everybody, right? The idea that it's okay for somebody else to drink it, but it's not okay for you to taste it is a little beyond me.
Right? Exactly.
So then how did it end up in the food, right? Yeah, with the recipe. Yeah, well, so how did we get from point A to point B? Listen, because I have a weed cookbook up here. I have a Hello Kitty cookbook. I have all sorts of like very niche cookbooks on my shelf, you know? So this falls under the category, you know?
Most certainly. I started experimenting. Because that discussion, I couldn't let go of it. And I started experimenting. We have two semen producers in my household. So there's plenty of semen to experiment. And the first thing I did, I was like, so semen kind of looks like egg whites.
Mm-hmm.
This is before I started reading up on everything, but
yeah,
it kind of looks like egg whites. So I was like, I wonder, like, what are the cooking properties of semen?
Yeah.
So I it sounds more grander and more of a laboratory than it was. I whisked up a semen omelette.
Okay.
It's basically like an omelette with just egg whites. And I just experimented. The first thing I did, I took semen, I whisked it up, and I poured it into a Teflon pan and fried it.
Just semen and semen alone?
That, nothing. No salt, nothing. Just
okay. I mean, it's salty enough. Hello?
No way. It needs more salt.
All right. So then yeah, I...
And the fascinating thing was that became, semen volume is, I don't know if you're a big producer or what, but I mean, even the most generous ejaculation is only about a teaspoon, give it a little bit more. It's not that much. It might feel like a lot, but it's not actually that much. And so the omelets are tiny.
Oh, all right.
And it behaved just like egg whites.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can make tiny little omelets.
All right. Well, listen, on TikTok, tiny food is a thing. So maybe that's your next venture here.
Yes. Yeah. Hold on. I'm just going to produce another one here. Hold on.
Oh, what? Yeah. Okay. You know what?
It's vegetarian, right?
It's not.
No. Sorry. Is it? It's not vegan.
It's not vegetarian, right? Because
it's produced by an animal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some discussions, like, how? I mean, it's produced by you, not by a commercially industrial farmed animal.
Yeah, and I guess the better tasting specimen of it is people who take very good care of themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
As opposed to like the Samantha Funky Spunk of it all. Because that's an infamous Sex in the City episode, right? Where people may be eating crap and not taking care of themselves.
I often get questions about the semen sort of flavor enhancers.
Like, oh.
There's pills you can buy and all kinds of stuff. Like,
do they work?
No, they don't. I've tried some of them. The thing is, I mean, semen is a reflection of the producer. I can't separate semen from the producer. So, I mean, I wouldn't eat semen from an anonymous person. I have to know the person. And I wouldn't eat semen from a person.
You have some morals.
It's
not me drunk on a Friday night being like, who's ready?
So you would eat a semen omelet and not know who it's from?
I don't know if I'd eat a semen. I mean, I wouldn't say no. I was curious about the breast milk cheese when that woman did it.
Yeah.
Or that guy at the restaurant did it. I mean, I guess I'd try it. I mean, it's not... if we're talking about it, we have to talk about it, right?
Yeah,
it's not as if I haven't swallowed before. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess what's the difference? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, you have a point, but I just feel like maybe I'm too much of a control freak.
Yeah, yes, obviously. I think if we're cooking with it.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know. I'm thinking about my past sexual history here.
You've had some,
and I'm not gonna lie, I've had some strange in my life, you know? I've had a long sexual journey over 20 some odd years. So
you've sampled your way through the season.
Yeah, a few.
But have you noticed healthy? I like to call them producers because it sounds more fun. Healthy semen producers. They are also have a better tasting semen.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's so basically my answer to the question of the supplements and all this stuff that they're trying to sell is that you don't actually need those. So if it's a healthy person that takes care of themselves and eats plenty of fruits and vegetables, the semen should be great.
Yeah, okay, so then that leads me into this other question. What are the beneficial properties of ingesting it?
Well, semen has, I mean, there is some protein, there's zinc, there's minerals, there's some fructose, there's a mix of sugars. As we discussed earlier, it's not a lot. So, I mean, a teaspoon of semen isn't gonna, it's not like you're eating a whole brick of tofu.
Oh my god! that image you just put in everybody's head right now. Yeah, a brick of tofu. Yeah, I mean,
it's not like you're getting your daily requirement of anything by ingestion by a little teaspoon of semen. So it's more for the novelty of it. Obviously, but semen it's not a waste product. It's not urine. It's not like the fluid that comes from your eyes or mucus from your nose. It's not earwax, you know. It's not something that's getting rid of waste products from the body. It's produced. I mean, it's not gross.
Semen, I love that. I've never thought of that. Like, you literally, this is why I was so excited to have you on here, because there's a whole lot of food for thought here. Semen is not a waste product.
No, because you think of every other fluid in your body. You're like, that's something you want to keep. I mean, it's something you dispose of. But semen, if you think it's for life, it's to make life. It's a positive.
Yeah.
It's a positive fluid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never thought of it like that, but yeah, absolutely. That is 100% like facts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you asked me the benefits. I mean, it is, it would, if we can ignore the quantity or the volume, and semen is it's very nutritious with the minerals in it, with the protein, the enzymes. It should be, you know, you shouldn't be able to buy. I envision, like, you know, you go to the convenience store and you have the vitamin waters, you know, you should have semen waters as well. Like at least one, you know, kombucha, vitamin water, semen water.
Yeah, I mean, I would want to know who it's from.
Like, see, you do want to know. You're all like, cocky, like, oh, I would try from anyone. Like, no, you won't.
Like, is this Joe Manganiello? Like semen water? Like, this is what I want. Is this Oscar Isaac semen water? Like, yes, please. You know. Like Michael B. Jordan? Absolutely.
Donald Trump semen?
Oh, my God. Disgusting. All right. We are done here.
Okay,
thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you for coming. Goodbye. Out of all...
I'm just thinking.
Out of all the offensive things you could have said. Okay, so,
wait, do I have, let me explain. Fuck, man, I fucked this one up.
Mean, that's like, that is powder best.
Okay, so I read this article about that people were asked to, and I can't remember, I assume this was in the States as well, but I mean, people were asked to rank what they found to be the most disgusting. And people, you know, obviously it was, you know, open sores or blood or vomit, but Trump was on the top five.
Oh, well, I agree. I really agree. You threw us into a really weird space. And out of all the weird spaces we could have gone, out of all the weird spaces we could have gone on today, this this is what not what I expected. Talking about that man, that person. Ugh, gross. Right? Oh my God. I love this. And how fascinating indeed. And it's like I said, and I can't say it enough, obviously, it's the one reason, the biggest reason I have been chasing you and wanted you on this pod, because it's so fascinating just to sit here and talk about it, because I'm sure a lot of people from the jump are immediately dismiss it as like, oh, this is just for attention, or this is just this, or like,
it's a novelty.
The thought of like semen is not a waste product. I'm still stuck on that, being like, oh yeah, I guess it's life creating, I guess. And it's, yeah, we can go down that avenue, and I'm here for that. I'm absolutely here for that.
Because it's a food podcast.
Yeah.
I thought I'd have to mention the semen melt.
The semen melt?
So it's important both when cooking with semen and when making lotions and beauty products. It's important to... So when semen is freshly ejaculated, it's lumpy. And that's kind of difficult to use in whether it's food, cooking, or whether it's in making a nice lotion. So you have to let it melt. And what happens, it kind of breaks down. So if you ejaculate into a clean glass, and just let the semen rest for about, it's anywhere between 8 and 12 minutes.
Come to room temperature.
Well, and not only that, but it actually breaks down, and the liquid, it lumps itself. I just made up that word, but it becomes more liquid. Then you can incorporate it into whatever you're doing. So, yes.
Let me interrupt you really quickly. You do have a disclaimer at the beginning of your books, which I've read, that says that don't just go feeding people semen, please.
I can't control what people write on in the reviews on Amazon, but I mean the first couple of months it was like people were writing, I love semen books because it's or this cookbook because it's I followed the recipes and I took the products to the church bake off.
Oh.
And it was so popular, I sold out immediately. And I was like obviously that's probably a joke, but I hope it's a joke that people aren't feeding semen products to, unknowing eaters or diners.
Unknowing eaters, yes, absolutely. Please do not surprise your dinner guests this holiday season, without telling them.
These crepes have one less egg crepes. Like, it's not funny unless you're consenting.
Yes, right? We are all about consent. And yes, we are having fun today on this podcast. And we're talking seriously because, this is a passion project of Paul's over here as well. But we do have to put in that disclaimer here because, you know, we are supporting for health. We are supportive of healthy and consensual experiences all around. I want to take a quick break, right? Faux T and I, as his friends call him, and now I feel like I'm his friend, if I may call you that. We are going to go and have ourselves a semen cocktail and take a quick breather, and we're going to be back with my favorite part and your favorite part of the podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Foti, I hope you're ready for my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. A little something we like to call Food News Update.
Food News
Update. Food News.
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready,
girl.
Spill the tea.
Update.
Build your gingerbread house out of Pop-Tarts this year, and you could win $15,000. I don't think this is a bad idea.
Oh, I think it's nasty.
You don't like Pop-Tarts?
No, they're nasty. Ew.
I mean, they're processed.
With that kind of money, I would do it.
Hello. you really are going to turn down 15 grand?
No, after, I'll take it back. No, okay, take it back. I'll do it.
After spending what? A good 10, 20 bucks on a couple boxes of Pop-Tarts to make a cute little holiday festive gingerbread house?
I mean, the number of suggestions I've gotten for the semen cookbooks on Pop-Tarts and semen, you'd think there's a connection.
Maybe. That's why. I was like, well, if you need a substitute for icing.
Some powdered sugar, whisked.
Yeah, I mean, we could incorporate it all, I'm sure, right? And, you know, the great thing about gingerbread houses is I don't know anybody that eats them. Like, you just build them and then they stay there, right? Yeah.
They turn nasty, you know, just laying.
Yeah, like there. They dry they're out
dusty and
things.
Dusty and, yeah.
Yeah, they're like dusty and crusty, so.
Ew.
Yeah, so Pop-Tarts is encouraging everyone to sketch out some blueprints and assemble their best Pop-Tart gingerbread houses this holiday season using the newly available gingerbread flavor or any of your other faves. They're also giving away $15,000 to one lucky winner who posts a photo of their best gingerbread build on Instagram or Twitter. I mean, 15 grand.
Go for it.
I mean, if this is something you already love doing.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you know, I all these food brands out there are always trying to like think of the next best Instagrammable thing, the next whatever. This actually I'm here for because it's people are already doing it, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like too out of the box or too like crazy. And I mean, and if you win 15 grand, what, after American taxes, what is that, like eight? Yeah, you go home with eight, seven and a half, something
that's
like that.
That's good. That's a lot. That's, I would do that.
Hello.
Sure.
Happy holidays to me.
Bring it on.
That is, Christmas presents and some left over.
My favorite gingerbread house sort of social media content is the ones where they just fuck it up. You know, like, this is what I tried to do.
Oh, yeah, that's like the nailed it of it all. Yeah. Well, listen, folks out there, whether you nail it or whether you don't nail it, right? Hopefully one of you wins that $15,000 and shares it with your girl, Munoz, right?
Don't forget me.
Well, they're going to go out and buy the books.
Okay.
All right, they're going to buy the books. We both win, okay? We are here for this.
Deal.
McDonald's is giving away a dozen McGold cards that grant you free food for life. Have you heard about this phenomenon?
What?
Apparently, this is like urban legend that these McGold cards exist.
This is real.
This is very real.
Wow.
And apparently, Microsoft founder Bill Gates has one and actor Rob Lowe has one. But in recent years, it's changed. In 2018, the first time ever, McDonald's gave one away as part of a sweepstakes. And now for the holidays, they'll be giving three people four McGold cards each. One for you and one for three of your friends in their season of sharing.
Well, I like it.
Right? Are you a fast food queen?
No. But I like the idea. I like the idea. It's like having one of those gold cards with American Airlines. You can fly anywhere first class, but it's McDonald's.
Yeah, I think this would be very dangerous for me. I do not eat fast food. I do not eat fast food. It's very rare in my life. But if I'm coming home drunk or like, you know, weed is legal here in New York City. So if I'm a little high and I have the munchies.
Hello, card.
Hello, card. I mean, there is this infamous story of me and my best friend getting very high and then going and ordering 3 20-piece McNuggets at the McDonald's downstairs. And the cashier looked at us and said, 60? You want 60 McNuggets? I mean, like, I feel like that's what would be happening. But,
I used to have a friend, lost contact with him. He considered himself a McDonald's connoisseur. He was a professional cook, and he refused to eat anything in his own restaurant. So he'd often go to McDonald's, and he would pimp up the burgers with like expensive cheeses or some, you know, whatever he had in his professional kitchen. And I joined
that
him.
That seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but I mean, you know, the humble McDonald's cheeseburger. You put some expensive French cheese on there.
I guess. But I'm thinking of a quarter pounder with cheese alone, and I'm getting hungry.
Like, stop talking.
Can't you not? I don't know if you're a big McDonald's fan, but like the minute I say the words quarter pounder with cheese, I can taste it. I know exactly what it tastes like. Delicious. I mean. You know, listen, this sweepstakes is happening through their app, right? You have to, like, do things through the McDonald's app and spend a little bit of money, but not a lot. I think you have to, like, order off the dollar menu, and they're releasing some sort of, like, special, like, merch to, like, a Hamburglar hoodie or something like that. I don't know. I'm here for this if you're here for this. I'm not going to yuck your yum. All right. Yeah, I mean, hello. I'm not going to yuck your yum. And if you want to take it home and come in it and then eat it, we're here for that too. Absolutely. And last but not least, Coors Light's new nail polish changes color when your glass of beer is cold. I mean, these brands will stop at nothing.
What?
But I'm here for a cute nail polish.
So what? Walk me through this. So you're holding your beer.
Yeah, well, you know, Coors Light is infamous for having, and I'm not a beer drinker, but it's like, you know, that those cold as the Rockies, that their whole gimmick was that, like, when the can is cold, the mountains appear or something like that. Well, now they have this thing called Chill Polish for the holidays, and apparently the brewing giant teamed up with the nail polish experts at Le Chat to create a color-changing polish that goes from gray to blue when its temperature drops to a level acceptable for drinking a Coors Light.
The beer brand's your finger in the beer.
No, the beer brand says simply paint your nails, hold your pint glass, and voila. See blue or not so blue if your beer is too warm. No matter where you're enjoying Coors Light this season, the fashionable functional chill polish shows you when your brew is cold enough to drink at any holiday gathering. Now, this is backwards.
It's backwards.
It is backwards because once you pour the thing into the glass, it starts to get warm.
Yeah, so you put your fingers, your hand on it, And it gets warmer.
And it gets warmer. So it's like, it should, the nail polish should reverse change. Like, it starts out as like, this is a cold, frosty beer. And the minute you hold it, if it's too warm, it'll change gray.
Yeah. They should have consulted us, right?
Absolutely. The color is cute, though. I would wear this color.
I actually like this one better than the McDonald's and better than the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I like the color. I would wear the color if they sent it to me because I like a nail polish with a gimmick, and it's it's great color for the holidays. Yeah. I'm here for it. I think it needs a little reworking. And with that, I think that's the best way to end Food News Update.
That was fun.
Right? I love a little Food News Update. And I mean, this entire episode has been a good time for sure, in one way or another. Talk to me really quickly about how you came up with, I guess it makes sense, I should say, that next steps, we have the cookbook, we have the cocktail book, next steps are like skincare products because it just makes sense. We talked about it at the beginning of the pod. There's all sorts of things in the most expensive skincare. Why not semen?
Yeah. And the recipes in the book are, I'd say about half of them are actually the semen. They're designed so that the semen actually sort of benefits your skin or your hair. About a third of the recipes are the semen is added sort of, it's more for fun. I mean, the benefits might not be there. But I've done a lot of experimentation with the recipes. And my friends everyone I know has been forced to test these recipes. And they work. They work.
And they work. So you've seen results. Are we seeing like skin? Are we seeing anti-aging? Are we seeing skin tightening? Are we seeing like dark spot removal? I'm thinking of all the commercial things.
Slow down.
Oh.
Slow down. I mean, the greatest benefit of semen, as far as I can see it now, after experimenting for several years, is the moisturizing. It does invigorate. I mean, it, like I mentioned earlier, semen is full of all kinds of goodness, and it's hydrating. And if you mix it together with some, for example, shea butter or mango butter, it's brilliant as a moisturizer. It's great.
Does
it's
it fantastic. Keep?
that's one of the issues that I had very early on. Is when you're cooking food, you definitely need the fresh semen, and you need to be very careful of how you store semen. And I thought when I started experimenting, I thought I wouldn't have to be that careful because you're not going to eat it if it's in a lotion or something. But that's it turned out that it's very important to keep that the semen be. Either if you use fresh semen, you have to use the products very quickly or keep them in the fridge. Or you can make powdered semen, which is dehydrated semen.
How do you go about powdering your semen?
It's crazy. So I have a dehumidifier, and you have to have quite a bit of semen. And you spread it. There's an attachment there called like a fruit roll-up or a fruit.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you spread the semen on there as thin as possible, and you can actually dehydrate the semen.
Does it still keep its properties?
Well, obviously the hydration properties aren't there. But you have all of the minerals, all of the vitamins.
Yeah,
everything else is still there. It's kind of. I mean, you don't get a lot of semen powder. You need a lot of semen to make even a tiny speck of semen powder.
I'm sure there's a bukkake party somewhere in this Midtown Manhattan neighborhood where I can go get a vat if I really wanted
to. Bring it on. Come to my place. I will dehydrate the hell out of it.
You know, know, a long time ago, an old choreographer friend, right, who I've lost, she's still a friend, but she used to say she keeps her husband's in the freezer and puts it on her face every morning. Yeah. She goes, it's the best.
Yeah. The only thing I would add is if you use just pure, don't fuck with it, semen, then it's hard. It doesn't actually stay. It's too liquid. It doesn't stay put on your face. So mixing it together with my favorite is mango butter because it smells so good, but you could use shea butter or any other sort of coconut oil.
Butter.
Or cocoa butter. Anything that's room temperature, sort of keeps its form. If you mix it with that, you get sort of, then the semen stays on your face. You know what I mean? Like, and you have the added benefit of the oils. So that would be my sort of, if you're not going to buy the book and you still want to experiment, then I would say just go for like semen, let it melt, mix it in with your favorite pure vegetable oil or fat and use it as a moisturizer.
Oh, I am fascinated, simply fascinated by all of this. And we want people to buy the book.
Oh, yes, Paul, of course.
Buy the book.
Must buy the book.
We can't give all your secrets away now. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for looking out for me.
Obviously.
Since I'm not going to be winning the Pop-Tart gingerbread contest, I need money from the books.
From the books. Absolutely. What a great day this has been. And what a fascinating conversation. And I'm just like, my mind is like spinning. My mind is spinning awesome. With the, just like great, great things. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast and talking to me and giving me time out of your very, very busy schedule to come here and just, you know, chat about some baby batter with me.
This was so much fun. You're very enjoyable to speak with, and you made me. I was a bit nervous in the beginning, but this was great.
Nervousness
just disappeared.
Yes. Well, we are here to celebrate you, as I said, and listen, I have been a fan and admirer of your, and so curious about you and your books for so long now that this was kismet for sure, right? This was kismet. A little fun thing to close with, right? Because there's so many slangs for semen out there.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if Foti is going to come in with all of these. And there's this one.
Give me some.
All right. So obviously baby batter. Yeah, this one's gross. Ball barf. Bonk juice. Buttermilk. Okay. Chode nectar. Meh. Clam sauce.
No.
Cock droplets. Cock snot. Cough drops. No, not cough drops. Cuckoo spit? No.
What the hell?
Daddy sauce. Dong water. Erectoplasm. This one's for you. Face cream.
Yeah.
Not fish dip. Oh, they were wrong for that.
They're so wrong.
A gentleman's relish.
See, you're going into the food.
High fructose corn syrup. That one was for you, too.
I love these.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
High fructose corn syrup.
Corn syrup. Schlong jelly. Sink bubbles.
Oh, ooh. Oh, but you were saying sink.
Sink.
Yeah, so I was, this is how damaged I am. I immediately thought zinc, as in the mineral.
Oh, no, not zinc.
You could call it zinc bubbles because it's full of zinc.
Yeah, throat yogurt.
Oh, no, no.
What do you mean no?
No, I don't like that one.
it's on brand. It is on brand. Oh my God. Listen, folks out there, in your mouth listeners, if you want to find any of Foti's book, they are all, you can find them on Amazon and other places. The one is called Natural Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes. The other one is called Semenology, the Semen Bartender's Handbook. And his latest book that just came out, Semen Cosmetics, the Complete Guide to Making Semen-Based Bath, Body, and Beauty Products, are all available on Amazon and beyond. Go show him all the love. Go, you know, it's a great, oh my God, it's a great white elephant book too. Or, you know, a great hostess book for your, you know, big gay parties, you know. We all have that big bottom friend. Okay. So put it on your holiday list. It's definitely on mine. Big thanks to Paul Fotenhauer again for coming on. You are an angel and you are part of my big gay food family now. And I can't be happier to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Other than that, we're in the thick of it. So I am just going to wish you well. Holiday sanity. Find time for yourself. Being a little selfish and some self-care is probably the best gift you can give to yourself during the holidays. And other than that, all I have to say is thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth!